My name is Jill. And I know you were here some of the last time I taught, right? Or no? Oh, then where do I know you from? Just here? Yeah, you guys look more familiar than just that. It could be from many different things. So what's your name? Kevin. Lori. Chad. Joy. Got it. All right. Anybody want to report anything exciting? Well, that might be the correct word, but peaceful about your meditations the last week? Jim, you usually have something to say. No. Yay! Let's all rejoice. And how was that for you? Yeah. Those are nice, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Me too. Kara's giving you the thumbs up. You can't see it, but she's like, yeah. Good. Good. And I've told you guys before last week, but I want to make sure I tell the new folks. Venerable Renee came here. Did you guys get any teachings from him? Joy, were you? I don't know if you were here. So he's just a heart for me. And if you just didn't send that text, if you go to Vajrapani website, so I just put it as a screenshot in mine, and there's like Vajrapani Institute. And then these are all Venerable Renee's meditations, and they're all like, there's lots of them, and there's talks. So I've been using these. They're just delightful. So you can look up Vajrapani Institute, and then you'll know, come on in, it's okay. Hey. Mm-hmm. You can get teachings. Oh. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Come on in. What's your name? Don. Hey. Good. So this is, we're not going to Cincinnati. This is Denver. That's all I like to say. This is class 4 of 5. So if you think you're in class 1, I'm not saying any names. This is class 4. Okay. So where were we? So yeah, you can find some different things. If you just do general searches, it's fine to go on and find all kinds of things on YouTube. But it's kind of nice to know whose meditations you're doing. So, you know, so you kind of trust the source. So, Vajrapani. You'll get close enough. Mm-hmm. And then you go under media and then Venerable Renee. And then I noticed there's a bunch of teachers. I didn't even go to the other one. So there's probably a lot of meditations. And we have a lot on our site. You know, it's just fun to, we all talked about how guided meditations are a lot easier when you're new. If your mind goes, then if you've got somebody talking in your head. I got a lot of people talking in my head, but they're not, it's not a meditation. Huh? Everything. Except for us. Hello. Welcome back. All right. Let's. Anybody need any review on this? The seven-pointed. Do you new people know anything about the seated posture? Review? Okay, just a quick review. So we always want to, when you sit, even, so this relates to the chair as well for part of it. So if you're sitting on the floor, and you can also come to the floor like these girls do, and then come back, go back to the chair when we're talking. You can go back and forth. So your legs are your base, like you're building a pyramid. And you don't crisscross applesauce your legs because you can put them to sleep. So you just, you can stack them or put one in front of the other. Or if you want to sit in full Vajra, you can do that. I know like one person who does that. And then we've discussed a little bit here about if you support, like this knee is the high knee right now. This is the one on the cushion. So if I put a support under here, it's really beneficial. I mean, it helps a lot. Who tried that? She's trying it right now. So it was, I think it was Michelle that was back here. Kara's trying it. It supports it a lot, and it doesn't put the pressure on your hip. So if your hips hurt, that's a big thing. If your knees hurt, it can be because it's hanging. And then they make meditation cushions that are in a V, and you can shake the buckwheat down, you know, and sit kind of like that, and that supports your entire thigh. So those are quite nice. Since this is Meditation 101, I think it's a good time to work out the posture if anybody has any questions. Your hands are in the, you can try it like this. You can have them on your knees. You can have them open. So if your shoulders cave in, you might want to try opening your hands. That'll help a little. And if you stack them, it's you can think of wisdom and compassion coming together. The thumbs lightly touch like you're holding a piece of paper, and you just rest it on your lap. It's a little trickier when you're sitting in the chair because it's your arms are up higher. And the arms are open, as we've discussed. It's quite difficult to have air going through when you're like this. So if you do tend to get a little hot, then this would be a heated, this would create heat right here. So if you open them like that, create some space simply for airflow. Nothing too magical about that. The spine, and this is where the chairs come in. As you can see, Jackie, my Vanna White model, she's pulled herself away from the chair, and she's got a cushion. So this is a perfect way to sit. Her legs are completely, she's not opening her knees. They're perfectly stacked. And then her spine is, she's not leaning back. So you can lean back when we're talking, and then you can come forward when we're meditating. And in that way, you're not crunching your spine, crunching the straw, as I call it, and crimping the breath and the nervous system and the energy flow. So as soon as you roll your pelvis forward, I'm also a yoga teacher, so talk about that a lot, then you get the spine nice and straight, and then you get the air flowing freely. And then you lift up through the back of the top of your head. So that changes for a lot of people. So like if you end up with your chin up like mine a little bit, you want to lower that chin down, you know, not like that, but lower a little bit and lift up through the back of the top of your head. Good. Like you're being hung by marionette strings, and then it'll your spine will feel a little more free. And the head is placed, if you think about the spine coming up and the occiput on the skull right here, if you can even imagine a bubble of air so that it's sitting in a nice comfortable position and adding a little space in there, not thinking about it being compacted down. The mouth, the tongue is on the roof of the mouth, just to prevent drooling if we were to meditate for hours here. And then behind the front row of teeth, and your teeth, of course, not clenched. And just try to relax the jaw. Sometimes if you are someone who does that, get tightens up in the jaw, you might try to notice that you need to have that be a little soft. And then your eyes. So if you've meditated a lot and you've always closed your eyes, you might continue that. If you're new to it, you have a great opportunity to try both ways, with your eyes closed and your eyes open. And you'll notice our example here. He has his eyes gently open. It's good enough for me. But I have done it for so long with them closed that I tend to get really distracted. But if you get sleepy, let a little light in and try opening them, and you try not to focus on anything, and the gaze would be about like at an angle like that. So, any questions? Is that good? Okay. So, what do we have today? Inspirational picture. Blue sky shining on me, so it's like clearing the gray clouds away and thinking that when the sky is gray, it's still blue above the clouds. Awesome, right? To get above the clouds. I was driving through the, probably going to Asheville or something one time in the mountains. And you know how right in the fall when the trees are completely full color, and you can imagine, you get that first vista, you know, and it's so beautiful, and everyone says, oh, it looks like carpet, you know, and you have all these great analogies. But it's all full of color. And these huge clouds were passing overhead, and the shadows, has anybody witnessed that? The shadows of the clouds were, you know, just moving like that. And it's when you focus on just that, it's kind of odd looking. And I was very, very depressed at the time when I was young. Nobody ever believes me, but I suffered from great depression. And I'm happier now. But it occurred to me that the color didn't go away just because the clouds were there, you know. The clouds were revealing the color as they moved, but it looked so dark. It was very Eeyore right there in that moment. But it was just moving. So it's very important to remember that whatever is occurring during your meditation, your life, your day, like this rain, it's just happening and it's going to move away. Sun will come again. You know, not to think of things as permanent and as solid, because they're all changing. So in your meditation, when it gets difficult and it's just heavy, to lighten up, maybe get up, come back to it, and just not attach yourself to it. Likewise, what's the opposite side of that? Now, if you don't want to remember the icky stuff and it's impermanent, what else is impermanent? The yin and the yang. The good stuff. So don't be depressed by that. But the good stuff is also impermanent. And we have living proof of that probably because everything morphs and changes. So we don't want to always be reminded of that, but when it's really good, just just be happy it's really good and know that, well, it might shift. It might shift again and get a little uncomfortable, and then when it's uncomfortable, it'll probably shift again and get good again. So if you've got an eighth grader, you would know what I was talking about. It happens moment to moment. All right, so let's set a motivation for class, and we'll just quiet our mind for a minute. Do a little nine-round breathing. I'll lead you through it. So find any position you want that's comfortable. Take a couple breaths in and out, settling down. I always like to start with the idea of gravity because gravity is holding us here. So if you literally think about gravity, you can almost settle into it. You can let your body relax and sink down, like, I'm not going to fly off this planet. Settle my body down, relax. Feel like it's the energy is coming down, down, away from the head, traveling down through the body. Sort of a nice, lovely, heavy feeling. It keeps you feeling connected. And then once you find that, you feel nice and relaxed, and then have a gentle lift in the middle of your spine as you sort of roll forward and up, and lifting all the way up through the back of the top of the head. And now you have the energy going up and the energy going down, stretching your spine out, rolling your shoulders back a touch. We start with the physical, move to the mental. And when your body's comfortable, just check your breath and notice first where you're breathing from. That always is a little check-in. And then settle the breath down and see if you can let it go down to the belly. Letting the belly relax and balloon out when you breathe in. Roll that breath all the way up through the middle lungs and the upper lungs, breathing all the way up to the collarbone, to the top of the lungs. And then letting the breath go out of the upper lungs, out of the middle lungs, and retract your belly slightly. Consciously breathing for a few breaths. See if you can pull the thoughts down to focus on the breath. And then we'll look into the mind and see if our mind is racing or just taking a temperature right now of where the mind is, snapshot. And this is when we begin to do the stabilizing portion. So you may, we'll do some nine round, but at this point at home you could do counting the breath to maybe 10 or 3 if you're very unfocused in the moment. So if you've never done nine round, just go along with us. We'll take the left hand, the ring finger, and very lightly close the left nostril, breathing in through the right, closing the right, exhaling left. Closing left, inhaling right. Closing right, exhaling left. One more, inhaling right, and exhaling. Taking your right ring finger, gently close the right nostril, inhale left. Close left and exhale right. Two more times, inhaling left. Exhaling right, inhaling left, exhaling right. it in through both nostrils three times. We do 9 round breathing to bring all the energies into a focus, like all the rivulets running to a stream, which run to the river, which run to the ocean. So we take the 72,000 channels of energy that run in our body. It can be filled with the waste wind, which can be maybe thought of as excess energy. And we try to let it focus so that it's very streamlined and comfortable to make a relaxed mind. When you're practicing at home, you can do as many rounds of 9 rounds that you need, counting the breath. Remember, if the thoughts, or when the thoughts arise, they're only a mere thought. Each one is just a little thought. If you have the thought of, gee, I'm hungry, that's the thought. What else, whatever else comes is the story. So we're trying to train our minds to not go to the story. Once we have a little success in that, we train our minds to not pay attention to the thoughts so much. They're going to come and go. Just let them move away. If you think about not placing any judgment on whether you're hungry or not, then it's just simply a noticing. You might think of them as bubbles and pop them. Clouds moving in the sky. Just let them blow away. Some like to imagine you go underwater and the thoughts are like the waves. And once you dive under, they don't impact you. But they're still there. We don't have to be affected by them. And then we begin to sense some of the relaxation when we don't follow every single solitary thought in our mind, chasing it. And as the mind relaxes, the body relaxes. And as the body relaxes, the mind relaxes. So set your motivation for today's class. Maybe you want a more peaceful mind. Maybe you not want to feel anxious. Maybe you do not want to feel stressed or angry, sad, jealous, and happy. And for whatever you're feeling and whatever you don't want to feel, imagine so many people are feeling that way. So we raise our motivation in hopes that what we learn can be beneficial to so many others. And that's why we're here. Hmm. And bring yourself back. Do I have any questions? You're so relaxed. You're like, no. It's all good. Oh, in the ninth round? Yeah. So does everybody know how to look online for the homework? So if you find all these meditations, has anybody seen them there? They're there? Okay. Just want to make sure they're there. So Jill asked me what, when we're doing the literal nine round, there's many ways to do nine round. This was like the short study, just breathing in and out, left and right. And the one we did in class, we did the central channel is blue. And then the right is red and the left is white. Yeah. We do a lot of things in Buddhism are the Om Ahum, and we have the red, the white, and the blue represents the mind, and the red is the throat, and the white is the body, speech, and mind. Speech. No. Body, speech, and mind, right? Body, speech, and mind. So white, red, blue. And those colors represent, we're trying to purify that. You might use like visualization of breathing out, and we do mantras and imagine that the speech is being cleared, and the body, and then the speech, and then the mind kind of thing. All right, this is not part of the curriculum, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's kind of fun. I call it the great toilet paper debate. So it's just kind of a fun way. Can you see it? Well, it's a roll of toilet paper. So which way do you roll? So there's those that go, there's only one way. Are you good? We have a sucker now. So there's the ones who roll over. Yay! And the ones who roll under. Not as many unders as there are overs. They're being quiet. Okay, so oops, where's page two? Oh, it's on the back. Ah. So, A, I got some of these things online, so it's a little crass, but I think you guys can deal. So A says, I disagree with everybody here and don't piss me off. Do you like the reference? B says, there's no question, and I'm with Jim, there's no question. I hate when somebody puts my roll on backwards. It's just like one of those things that irritates the crap out of me. No pun intended there too. Another one said, sometimes when it's like on A, I change it. So what we're going to do is, how many people roll A? A is over. We'll have C if you don't care. A is over. B is under. Oh, Mike's a B. Joy's a B. And C is like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why are we worried about it? She's like 3 points for that. Yeah, my daughter goes, you just put it in the back of the tank. Why are we even talking about it? I don't have a roll now anymore, so I cracks up like, there's no way it has to be. It's just on top of something. So what we're going to use this for is an example of your mind. And it's in the toilet, right? So I just want to say that to get out of the way. Full of crap. So when you have to have something one way, it shows you that you are uncomfortable if it's another way. You know, like you really want to change it. You really think it's wrong. So how many people do it the way because their mother or father did it that way? Or their house, you know, when they grew up? Do you know? It's easier. No, I mean, yay! She's my plant. Thank you. I mean, it's funny, but my mom told us this is the way it works, how many pieces you should use. I mean, you know, this is how you do. And my sister-in-law said, oh, dear God. Like, yeah, a little bit. So it's funny. Like, you just think that that's the way you're supposed to do things. And then when you get older, you realize, A, you don't have to if you get there. Hopefully you get there. B, it doesn't matter or, you know. Or I'm going to do it the other way just because mom did it that way. There's, you know, there's that too. So I don't clean my baseboards. So, so what I want you to think about is if you're somebody who has to have it one way, just try to do it the other way for fun. So Jim has homework. Oh, you're two. You're both an A. So you both have to put it on. You have to go backwards. Yeah. So now you have to go under. And class five, you got to report back. You got to do it. You got to go home and change it. I wish you were opposite. That would be really fun because we'd have them changing it all the time. So, yeah, one be over, one be under. So you just try it, and as you do that, then you tell yourself, this represents my mind, and I am so cool with whatever. Yeah. So if toilet paper doesn't get, like, do you have something else that gets you? Probably, maybe. I don't know. Might be something. But that's what we're going for. That's why we're meditating. So that nothing catches us. Nothing makes us, we have to have it some way. We have to have our mind be clear. I'm not meditating unless my mind is clear. That's not true. If your mind is all over the place, you're still meditating. It just seems a little, it's not like it has to be one way because you're just trying to learn to be more peaceful. But it might take a while. But it doesn't mean you're not doing it. So it doesn't mean you're wrong if you do it, but you're trying to be loose about things. So we've talked before about some of the easy ones are you get in the shower and it's the water's too cold. So you make it hotter and then it's too hot. And then you make it a little colder. And now you would like to be a little warmer. Now you're too hot. And then, you know, and so you just go back and forth. And in the car, how many of you have ever been sweating in the car and you forget to roll down the window? I'm like that one. But you're so consumed with thinking about something else that you actually forgot you can roll the window down. Your mind is not in the moment where you're just hot and you just relieve the heat. Or you just have to constantly change it, change the temperature. You know, those things we have to change all the time. Toilet paper squeezing, we've all got those. I mean, toilet paper squeezing. That's the Charmin guy. Toothpaste squeezing. You knew what I was talking about. So use these things as little metaphors in your life to ease up on everybody else, too. And so when I... Oh, see, he doesn't care about that. You know, do you squeeze from the middle and it drives you crazy when someone squeezes from the end? Or?
No, I squeeze from wherever it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Okay, so... Yeah, well, but that's a good mind, too, because she's not getting mad at him, unless she could be. Unless she's in there going, you know. See, good. That's the whole point. Well, you use these little things as examples. So now that my toilet paper sits on something right here, there's someone else in my house who puts it at the back of the tank. And I'm thinking, why would you do that? Because you have to go like that to get to it. And so it goes here. And then I laugh at myself thinking, did you just hear yourself? So now I just go, oh, this represents somebody else is here to move it. Nice. I mean, somebody's in my life. They're moving the toilet paper. So you make these, because that's a little patronizing tone, I know, but you can make them fun and it'll help your mind because once you find, and if it's too difficult, Jim, start with something easier. But if you find that you make it funny and it doesn't bother you anymore, then you really can take that into other things. And that's the whole idea, is that nothing's going to get you and to not bite the hook. You know? And so eventually, if you could really do, if you were, say we perfected everything, you know, we're practically enlightened, would you care, you know, which way the toilet paper was rolling? Can you imagine His Holiness coming? It's A, folks, it doesn't go that way. You've all got it wrong. I mean, you know, what would His Holiness do? What would Jesus do? What would, you know, find your role model? What would they do? So that's my fun with that. Fun with toilet paper. So today we're going to talk about setting up the meditation session. So we've been talking about meditating. So now we want to talk about actually how do you set it up to be more successful? And there's parts in it. So first it's kind of like just sit for 5 minutes, and you guys might still be trying that, just sitting, plopping down and sitting. So now we want to go a little bit more. So I remember when I started, it's like it was just part of yoga practice. So then when I tried it at home, I just sat down, and then I heard things like, oh, say this one prayer before. We're not doing prayers today, but okay, oh, there's this prayer, cool, there's this one prayer. Now it's like prayers and bells, and, you know, you just add these things in. So this is just about the session. So how do you start, you know? the thing that we've talked about a lot, and you guys are new, is that you want to make sure that you have a spot that's always yours that you go to, a spot in your house. And so has anybody set up a nice little spot? Do you guys have some? Okay. So you want to set up something, whatever it is, if it's an Indian blanket rolled or, you know, you have something to sit on that's comfortable. But you're trying to create a place that you want to go to that you love to go to, that when you look at it, you wish you were there. So that's why you never stay when you're uncomfortable. You want to be there. You want to create this sense of longing to meditate. So you set up your spot. And then when you sit down, you just calm the mind. So who loves to do counting the breaths? You're like, no, you don't like, you're the one that doesn't like to count the breaths. I knew there was something about counting. Who loves to count to 10? Mike. Yeah, or to 21, or to, you know, you like counting. Holy cow. What, did you lose it at like 450?
No, I just kept on losing it.
Yeah.
As I progressed, I lost it less and less.
Oh, that's a cool idea. That's a neat idea. I'm going to try that. I'll see if I can get to 10, but, you know. Yeah. So you just stayed with it. And
Yeah. I mean, I would lose it, but I would go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a neat exercise. Yeah. So for the streamers, he's counting to 1,000. And letting it go and come back, go and come back. About an hour and a half? That's great. You can do that with mantras, you know. Mantras can keep you focused. Well, you just say the mantra. You don't. Yeah. That's what malas are. It's just a counter. There's nothing. It's not a holy object. It's just a counter. So that's just what that's for. And if you were really counting them, then, I mean, that sounded funny. If you had an assignment, say, to do a certain amount, then you would use a counter for the counting. So if you did one mala, you'd take the mark. Have you ever seen those little pieces that hang off the mala that have tiny little beads hanging off? Then it would be like one mala, and then the other rope is 10. Then you go back to 1. When you get to 10, you move the other one. So you can count this way. But you can use it. I've done some fun things where I just imagine the mantras and I imagine numbers. It turns a little bit into Count Dracula, but 1, as we did before, 7, and all the numbers come down. But counting is a ancient way to calm the mind. So remember that when you lose the thought, when you lose the breath and the counting, and your thought turns into a story, and you've lost the number, you don't even know where you are, you want to start over. But if you do waver, but you still know where you are, and you kind of have your focus, just keep going. That's what you were doing, I'm guessing. Yeah. Yeah. Not doing it for me. Yeah. And remember, you can go 1 to 10, 10 to 1, 1 to 10, 10 to 1 to just help the mind. And then stretch it and go to 21 and try that out. So that's in calming the mind. You just try all those 9-round breathing, anything that's stabilizing the mind.
I wondered about how would you use that?
So if I was doing just Om Mani Padme Hums. So like, for example, when we're here on Sunday morning and when they read the prayer list, it's Geshe-la's asked that we say Om Mani Padme Hums while the prayer list is being read to be of benefit for the people that need help that want prayers. So then you hear people just pull up their mala and they're just like Om Mani Padme Hums. Well, there's usually 21 and then 108 is a full mala. But when you're doing something like that, you're just saying the prayer for as long as the prayer list is read. At home, you might want to do like it. One of the things is about setting goals. So you might say, I'm going to do 100 Tara mantras, 108. So then I'm going to do a mala, you know. So you might know ahead of time what you want to do, and then you set, I'm going to keep my mind on this while I do this one mala. So it's a little, do you see how when you decide the next, when you decide what your object is going to be, then you stay on it. And I think that's the same thing for mantras. So have you experienced, and a lot of people like to meditate like this, where you just sort of start with, you sit down and you're just quiet. And it feels so good because you're very relaxed, usually, if you're not suffering from any difficulties. You can be very relaxed, but you have no goal, you know, and you just let your mind wander. And it feels quite good. I mean, I think we can all, has everybody experienced that? And it's very calming and relaxing, and that's what most people think meditating is. And it's not wrong, like the toilet paper debate, but it isn't actually meditating. It's just simply letting your mind wander. So you could call it daydreaming. It isn't bad. It isn't wrong. It's nothing like that. It's simply that if you think of meditation as training your mind, then all you're doing is training your mind to wander wherever it wants to go. So that's not actually the goal of meditation, if you think about it. Does that make sense to everybody? So when you have your object and you've decided, I'm going to meditate, if it is just the breath, then that's all you're going to meditate on. And I know from my experience, we've talked about it, that once I get really relaxed and something kind of comes up, like maybe something, a discussion that was said, and then it bubbles up and then you think, oh, I should have said that. You know, and you start to work it and you think, this is such a great time to work that through. I'm going to sit here and work on this right now. But then the mind's tricking you, because that's not what you decided to do in the beginning. So even though it might be nice and you might get some benefit from that, you still want to say, no, I'll do that in a minute. Right now what I've decided to do is A or B, whatever you've decided. So does anybody have any questions about that? Because that can be a little tricky for beginners. Mike's thinking. He's making pondering faces. Mm-hmm. A visualization, he's saying. You follow it. You follow the breath. Mhm. Yeah, because that's focusing on the breath. That's perfect, because you're giving yourself, this is what I'm going to do, and then you're following it through. It for people who do have a problem, and I really do think most of us are similar. Our minds go everywhere. Rarely does somebody say, "I got this," you know, because they wouldn't be here. So we need something to focus on. We need that thing. So we're going to talk about different ways that you can literally do intense meditation visualizations, or you can do very simple ones. There's a full range of things to do. So calming the mind is the first thing. And remember when we said, like, the breath can be your meditation, but it's also your stabilizing. It can be both. So you can start off with the breath, stay with the breath, or you can start off with the breath, move to your object. If your object wavers, you can come back to the breath. Okay, so then the next one is setting the motivation, and you've heard me say that. So does anybody have any questions about how you might do that on your own? You know, that you decide, usually we raise a personal one first, like, what's my motivation? And then we kind of take that energy and we think about it being beneficial to as many beings as possible. You can include the whole world and all the bugs and every being that could exist. You might think of people that are suffering from something you're suffering from, if it's this particular difficulty. But to take that motivation, you want to start off with your own and then make it a little more global. And that's kind of to make your meditation juicy. You know, you've got, like, this is what I want to do this for. And then you might find that it's kind of neat if you do that throughout the day. So when you arrive at someone's, everybody's got different jobs, but you can do it for your whole day of work. You could do it for when the kids get ready to come home, mayhem is getting ready to ensue. You can set a motivation for a time that you're going to meet with a friend, especially if it's going to be something difficult. If someone's asked to meet with you and it's really going to be a difficult discussion, you can go in and set your motivation how you'd like that to go, how you'd like it to be beneficial. So you do it for your meditation, but we're trying to learn to meditate to move it into our life. So in this way, setting a motivation, like when I go to clients' house to help organize, I typically set a motivation to, I hope that this is going to be beneficial to my mind and their minds and the minds of all beings. Because if I get my mind in order, I can help them. And if they get their mind in order, then they can help everyone else too. So that's right. I find that beneficial. and then the actual body of the meditation. So then you might move into, there's many ways to divide that. Right now we're just talking about simple things, but you guys are working on your calm abiding, which is a literal, I've decided I'm going to do usually one of three things. I'm going to literally take the breath and focus on it, the nine stages in development of the meditation, or analytical. And then you can eventually do both. You do some calm abiding, you might read a little text, and then you do an analytical. That's kind of a traditional Tibetan meditation. So for the analytical portion, we've talked about different ways. Has anybody tried meditating on text yet? Like a prayer or poem or anything? That would be something. It's not in the curriculum here, but do you remember different ways I've told you can try that? So like say, think of a prayer. May all sentient beings have happiness, which is the first line of the Four Noble Truths. Not the Four Noble Truths, Four Measurables. May all sentient beings have happiness in their causes. So you can take every word of it and make it your meditation. And it, if you have a crazy mind, like ADD mind, or a mind that just will not come back, you take every word and you meditate on that. May. What could that mean? May. So it's like a, and you're just sort of talking to yourself in your mind, like may. And it has sort of a heartfelt feeling, doesn't it? May. You're getting ready to say something beautiful. May. May you have something lovely in your life. You know, that kind of intent. So the may means a lot. When you start to break down what that one word means, it becomes quite rich. May all. Okay, that's big. Not some, not a few, not my friends, not just me, not just the roaches, and not just all. That in itself is an amazing meditation, just to think about all. May all sentient. So what does sentient mean? It means feeling, able to have a mind that, well, that which has a mind. That's why they say plants aren't sentient, but if it's proven they do, then they're in the mix. You can still include plants if you want to. So having a mind, to all sentient beings, that's why even amoebas are considered sentient beings. Anything that, when it's poked, if it moves. Who knows Tom Terrific? I bet you guys do. The magic drawing board?
Yes.
Captain? Captain who?
Kangaroo.
You guys know Captain Kangaroo?
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who wore the funnel on the magic drawing board? Do you remember how he moved? He always moved like that. It's way, way old. Do you remember it? Yeah. So I think about an amoeba moving away from pain. So they say anything that moves away from pain is sentient because it doesn't want to suffer. So when you're praying, it's kind of like if you included just the beings in your own body, could you even make I don't remember the number anymore. Can you make even a guess at how many beings are that we're hosting for this party? Billions, trillions. And they're all just going along for the ride. So Lama Zopa Rinpoche is amazing at this. So if you think about, you're getting ready to eat, what's your favorite decadent thing to eat? Chocolate. You're getting ready to eat chocolate. Let's say it's not good dark chocolate, because we know that's really good for you. So it's really crappy milk chocolate, right? You're getting ready to eat it. And you want to and if you stop to think about, you're the host for this grand party and these trillions of beings are going to eat chocolate too, is that really good for them? Oh, it's not really good for them. Do I want to eat that? That's the way you can bring meditation to your life. I'm going to drink this probiotic, which, by the way, contains what? Billions of organisms that are entering the party. Yeah, it's a grand event. So that's kind of cool, isn't it? That's just here. I mean, how many beings do you think are in this room? In this carpet? In this square inch of carpet? May all beings. So may all sentient beings, and so then beings is the actual beings, and you just kind of create love, you know, around that. May all sentient beings have. So do you get the point? I think that's a rule. Most people have really enjoyed that. That's a rich meditation. You can take a Bible verse. You could take a poem. Find something that's meaningful to you. and then meditate on every word and just play with that. So that would be an analytical meditation. Mm-hmm. The moon on a still lake.
Actually, on a ripple lake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because it's... Right. Mm-hmm. That's an analytical meditation with the visualization. Yeah. We're going to do that, talk about that, too. So the moon, that kind of thing... The way to do an analytical meditation where you're just simply taking a topic and then you're just going to chew it, just going to think about it. So the moon is one thing up in the sky. And when the lake ripples, how many moons appear? So that's a question of existence. Those are the kind of like, it's here, it's gone. I mean, you could do so many things with that. You can say it's impermanent. It's not, and so the moon on a still lake is different. That's it appears to be here. It appears just as here as it does there, but it's not there. It doesn't inherently exist, and everything inherently exists in a way that things do not inherently exist. They exist in a way that we do not think they exist. So between Kara and I are just atoms, and so the atoms between us and the atoms we have. And our knees are just atoms. So there's really no separation. But it feels like there's separation.
There's all kinds of separation between your atoms.
Yeah. Space. Space between your atoms, exactly. So there's no difference between the space and the atoms within us in this grand party and the space and the atoms between Kara and I. So when the camera, if a camera was to pull up, the higher it went, the space between us would become less and less and less until we were no longer discernible as individual beings. Exactly. Horton Hears a Who. My favorite Buddhist book. So you can see how an analytical meditation. Now, the thing with a visualization, or visualization actually, that's analytical. Because you're thinking about it. Visualization is taking something, we'll talk about that. So what you have to be careful with when you're doing something like that is just letting your mind wander again, because you can see how it just kind of wants to go. So you'd want to decide what you're actually using that analytical portion for. Like, am I going to be talking about inherent existence right now? You know, you do have to kind of decide, because it's really fun to just let it kind of go. Have you experienced that? Yeah. And then you want to rein it back in. Now, another beautiful thing to do in there, when you are doing something like that and you get that, like say you got that moment of all sentient beings and you just went, and you feel a little stirring in your heart maybe, or you feel a little, something different has happened. And we don't have to label it as not a realization or whatever, but something moves your heart. And you can be quite moved to tears actually in a meditation. It's much different than, you know, our waking world. So whenever you feel that move, just absolutely stop. Don't do anything else. Don't think of anything else. Just stay right there and let it completely just be in that. The teachers talk about this a lot. And I actually went, that's the only question I've ever asked a teacher. Like, what do you do, you know, when you were talking about your being moved, is it actually over sentimentality? It's hard for me to say that. Over sentimentality. Or is that what you're talking about when you say, when you get to this point, just stop? And he was like, no, that's it, just stop. It was Geshe-la's teacher. Because then that's your heart. Like, what I like in that, too, is who's a teacher here? You're a teacher, right? Who else is a teacher here? Anybody else? Not one. So have we done this before in here when we said, what's the moment when you decided to be a teacher? So, like, when you're young, did you just...
It was in college.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a point like when you decide you're going to do it, and then you decide, and then you go through all the steps it takes to get there, and then you get the training, and you go to school, then you have to get the job, and, you know, and the steps. And then you might already be teaching, and you know you're a teacher. I mean, they call you a teacher. But there's going to be one moment Yeah? What was your moment?
It was probably, it took a while, too, because if you didn't, for the few, first few years, I had no idea what I was doing. But one of those moments when things, when you actually step back and watch them and you see that they're actually productive and learning and things are good and you just have that really
productive, yeah, and you were the responsibility for that,
yeah.
And they're learning something, and you, something happens, and it's almost like you feel it different than thinking about it, right? You know, it's not coming from the brain. There's something that has moved you, so that's the feeling you're going for when you just feel moved, and you just want to go, it feels so good. It's like, wow, I don't quite know what's happening. You don't have to label it. You don't analyze that any deeper. You just stop. And then it'll kind of dissipate and it'll drift away, and then you move back and you go right back into your analytical meditation. But stay, but let that happen. It can happen in any kind of moment, like even during prayers or during different parts when something just moves you, you know. And so too many times I think people try to push us through those moments. So when you're in your own quiet place, let yourself just wallow in that. That's good stuff. Okay, so, and then the dedication. So that's the bookend. So we have the motivation is the bookend and the dedication. So it's easy to forget that part. So when you've left the meeting with a friend or the dinner or the lunch or the meditation or something, actually take the time to say, I hope that that was beneficial not only to my, you know, whatever you want to say, not only to my mind but their mind, and I hope it's beneficial to many beings. And rejoice in it. Rejoice that you've done what you set out to do and bookend that. That's like before you go to sleep, thinking about the day. So those are the bookends, motivate in the morning, dedicate at night kind of thing. And so it's the micro macrocosm. Horton hears a who again. So your meditation is a little microcosm, and then the work day can be bigger, you know, and then you can take years. You can think of motivating and dedicating in bigger, smaller portions. But the meditation teaches us how to take these things into our life and make them more meaningful. Any questions on that part? Oh, I didn't read what the words they have. The role, motivation is the role of intention in determining the nature of our ensuing actions. I didn't say it quite so intelligently, but. Okay, the practice of setting one's motivation is a practice of transforming in a positive direction our mental habits so that we're setting the habits that we want to do that again, that we're creating a good feeling from that. And I've heard people talk about if you want to go to D.C., you actually have to decide you want to go. Like, you aren't just going to get there if you haven't decided you want to be there. So if she wanted to be a teacher, she probably wouldn't have become one if she hadn't had the original thought. That sounds kind of goofy, but the statement is so small. I think this would be a really good one to do meditation on. Everything exists on the tip of a wish. Lama Yeshe, that's Lama Zopa's teacher. So Lama Yeshe is on the top on the side wing panel, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche is on the bottom. Everything exists on the tip of a wish. So just think about that for a second. Like if you wanted something, you couldn't actually get it until you actually recognize the fact that you wanted it. So if you want to have a peaceful mind, you'd have to come to a course to start learning about it. And you did it, you know, you come here. Yeah, you have to start by wishing it. That I want something, or a lot of times it comes from knowing you're missing something, right? Like, something's just not right. But I don't have a peaceful mind, and I wish I did. So, don't you think that's the basis of all these? I just left a show where everyone was doing kind of the, what are all the coin phrases for that? Now, the secret, and the, you have to set your intention. Law of attraction. And if nobody shows, it's because you guys didn't set your attention. Okay, so so there's a lot of, that's just the language they use today. But it is the basis of a lot of current thinking, is that you do have to start with wishing for something. And that makes it seem quite powerful, actually. And then you need to pay attention to what you actually are saying you want, because it is quite powerful. I used to have a card company and greeting cards. And when I started it, I told everybody I quit my job and I'm doing this. And nobody was excited. It was bizarre. They said, that's all you've been talking about. Like, of course you did. I don't remember ever saying a word to anybody. Like, I talked about this out loud. apparently it was under my breath or something, like, oh, one day I want to have a, you know, maybe I said it like, I don't even know. Have you experienced that before where you've been saying something and people go, well, you've always talked about that?
Actually, my son would say, Mom, you've been talking about learning how to meditate for years. Why don't you just do it? That's what got me here in June.
Yeah, I think we think about things that we want. Some of us, you know, we don't really know that it's been cooking.
Or don't give it further thought.
Don't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. Don't make time for it, yeah. We want to have a healthy body, but are we willing to eat well and exercise, you know, and right? And then when you take this a step further, so everything exists on the tip of wish, this is starting from our own side, it's very personal. Whatever, this is from Shantideva, and I think he's 8th century. Whatever joy there is in the world, in this world, all comes from desiring others to be happy. So that's like really amazing. And whatever suffering there is in this world, all comes from desiring myself to be happy. Now that sounds harsh. Maybe he said something like alone, you know, only myself. But if you're only thinking of yourself, then it does tend to lead to suffering. So that's why this, that's why we take the motivation and we make it personal and then big. Personal and then big. So, what's that picture I had? You know the picture about the coconut cake with the, if that makes you really want that and that's going to make me really happy, then 500 pieces would make me enlightened, you know? And it doesn't quite work like that. But if you had one wonderful thought and it makes you really happy, probably 500 wonderful thoughts could possibly make you like, so, you know, it's where you put your energy because that involves other people, not just wanting cake. I did have coconut pie today. It was pretty good. Made me happy. Free from it. Bless you. So the dedication is a way of sealing and directing the positive energy that one has created so it ripens in positive ways. And sometimes that used to seem confusing to me, but if you think about setting the neuroplasticity in your mind and filling in those grooves and then you're creating new pathways, then can you see how the habits, whatever habit you do, you get better at? And it was quite shocking to me when the first time Venerable Rabina said, you know, if you play the piano every day, chances are you're probably going to get better at it. And if you practice dribbling a basketball every day, that's how people get really good at things. And if you practice yelling at people, you're going to get really good at it. And it, I mean, that's obvious, but it really did kind of surprise me. Like, yeah, the negative things I have in my mind, if I keep doing them, then I literally am getting better at either complaining or whining or, you know, being angry or, but we, do you think too that the positive stuff is the only thing that you're thinking about the practice with? Yeah, did I say that clear? So like, we think of, I'm practicing something, I have a habit. Well, habit can be usually can have a negative connotation, but practicing seems to have a positive connotation. Like I'm practicing the piano, I'm practicing weights, I'm weightlifting or I'm swimming, I'm practicing. Usually we think of that as something positive. But do you recognize the negative things that you do as you're practicing that as well?
Practice worrying.
I got that down.
But you really have to focus on it. Whatever it is you're doing, maybe it's anxiety or worry or you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're doing it.
Right. So Jim's saying being cognizant of what you're doing, exactly. The first level of being able to fix something is knowing what you got it, knowing there's a problem and knowing that you're doing it. And anybody see my Facebook post? You're probably the only one. I said, today I decided to not worry. That was a great 5 minutes. Tomorrow I'm going to go for 6. But when I was just aware, like, I'm really going to try not to worry. Like, I was driving to something and I was a little late and I thought, you're in the car. You can't change anything. I wasn't actually too late, but I just, you know, that frenetic sense that you need to get there for an event. Yeah. But I thought, you're already in the car, so you can't change anything that's happened. You can't get in the car sooner. You can't do anything. And instantly I went, why don't I just drive there then? Yeah. It was funny. I had to stop and go, chill the heck out. Yeah. And as I was leaving, I was really concerned that I was going to get here on time because I had to break down the booth and have to open the doors. I don't know. And I was here earlier than I'm here when I get here. When I live 1 minute away. And again, I thought, you're in the car. Just be in the car. Just drive there. So, and if I was really late and I was very uncomfortable with it and you guys were waiting, I still couldn't change it. So it's kind of, you know what I mean? That's a great way to just chill the heck out and say, it's all going to be good. You know, something I learned yesterday, who knows what the word subjunctive means? I had to look it up. If the teacher doesn't know, we're all good. Oh, good. Nobody knows what that means? Subjunctive. Have you ever heard of it? Doesn't it sound like subjunctive clause? Does that? So, do you know what it means? Yeah, I didn't have a clue. Subjunctive verb, maybe, or? Right. Right, right, right. Okay. 3 points. Yay! So, Ernie looked this up last night, he heard on a TED Talk, so he was texting me. So subjunctive means when you go there, be safe. And I always want to go, okay, like I'm not going to be safe. You know, those things do kind of, that's one of my little irritants. I'll be safe. God, thank God you told me because I was going to be reckless. So, but that's a subjunctive statement because it hasn't happened yet. It's not really going to have an outcome on anything. It's not going to change anything. There are some cultures who don't have a clue that that exists. Vietnam. They don't have that in their grammar. I know. I'm like, oh, my God, that's the basis of all my suffering. Subjunctive, and I didn't even know what it meant. So if I didn't just constantly think about what was going to happen if, I would just be in the moment, like, oh, that's what they're talking about. So can you imagine, like, it would be really hard for us to, you know, it's not part of our culture to be that way. But just play with it in your mind and think, wow. And it's changed my day. Last night and today, when we started talking about health care, I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We're still just going to do what we're going to do. Like thinking and talking and worrying if da-da-da-da-da isn't going to change it. So I'm just going to just, bless you, be right here in this moment. It totally made me understand the moment. A little bit, not totally. I'd be enlightened if I totally got it. Okay. Isn't that cool? Does that help? Look it up. It's fun. All right, so we got a breakout. I'm going to save time to do the breakout like we did last week because that was really fun. Today's breakout, groups of 2 or 3, discuss specifically any benefits in daily life that you have begun to notice after including meditation in your life for the last 3 weeks. You can even, well, that would be, if we projected, that would be subjunctive, wouldn't it? We can't do that. So mindful, anything mindful you've done if you haven't had a great practice. So break out in groups of 2 or 3 and just come. And I think it was kind of fun last week. So you have to tell me what your partner said. Do you guys want to split it up a little? Yeah, go with. She's just crazy. Okay, Don, you want to? Okay, who's got something fun? The boys are deeply discussing, so. We'll let Chad and Joy start. We can't. You're new? Okay. How about you two? Or new also? Can you handle it, though? Okay, the girl. Is it you explain hers? Okay, girls. Rein it in. We're almost out of time, so we have to. I know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you just. Yeah. Good. Good. And how does that help her through the daily life? Yeah. Good. Okay. What did he say? I forgot about this is the mindfulness portion of good. Going piece by piece. Taking it piece by piece. Yeah, because it just gets overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Right. They say there is, yeah, I mean, you all heard that, there really is no multitasking. That you can only do things one at a time anyway. You're just doing them really fast if you're multitasking. So it doesn't mean it's more effective, and it can, you know, there's a point where it starts to feel like it's really efficient. I'm really efficient until it doesn't work. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the mania that feels like you're getting more done, but then it doesn't pay off in the long run because you're exhausted, right? You know, when you do too much at one time, and if you take a piece, and if you take that little break, which I am more of like a steam train bullet through, you know, okay, done in 8 hours. And I think if you take that little break, And it's good. You can add some motivation, dedication into that again. Like, okay, I'm going back in. Yay, team. This is the way I want my mind to go. And having that. Good. Okay, how about you guys? She needs all the help she can get. Good. So the meditations have been helping the teaching. But you just have to start. That's like a tip of a wish, right? Once you start, it can go anywhere. And now you've got the habit of mind of doing it a little, and you have success. Which what that actually releases endorphins or is it dopamine? What's released that gives you that sense that you've had a success? And then you want more of it. So it's similar to cake. Yeah, right? Is that, we can just call it that? Yeah. I don't get that one, but cake, I get it with cake. Haven't got it with running just. So you have it, whenever you can get a success with something positive, then you actually do want more of it, which creates a great model for yourself. Yeah, that's exciting. I'm glad. Okay. What did Renee say?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a long time to see some big benefits, but the most beneficial part for her so far is listening to you every week.
Oh.
Talking about how there's going to be these things in life that we can't control, and they're going to be hard, but it's not, you know, not taking them on and knowing that you don't have to engage with them. It's been very helpful for her.
Having a different mindset.
Yeah.
Checking in and. Yeah. It's your choice. It's your choice whether you decide to get angry or not. They talked about today, and it's kind of funny being someone who doesn't eat meat, but she was referencing, how do you eat elephant? And I was like, well, but, you know, I wouldn't probably try it anyway, but a little bit at a time. So breaking things down and knowing that you don't have to, that's not a good metaphor for me to use, but but that's how you can live. Okay. A big cake. How can you eat a huge cake a little bit at a time? Yeah.
To go to her car or to just sit down in her office on the floor and just count breaths.
Yeah.
Or imagine thoughts moving from the front of her.
Oh.
Mouth.
Oh, that's good. Ooh, we're all like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Moving thoughts from the front of the mind to the back of the mind. Oh. Yeah, because we've talked about taking, she has a little timer she uses too. And then she's increasing her time. Can I say that out loud? She started with the 5 minutes, and then she's been increasing it. So that's really neat. You can, I mean, that way you know that if you can do 5, you can get to 50. Then you can get to hours, because a little means a lot would work. Gives you a lot of hope. Yep. Oh, it does it itself? Oh, that's so cool. There's an app for that. So. Oh, good.
To thinking compassionate thoughts instead, like an example of a lady who's talking a lot, and, you know, the first thought, oh, she's talking so much, but she'd be quiet, and then thinking that's like, well, if she can talk, and well, maybe she's lovely, and maybe
good.
She needs people to talk to, and trying to reframe things, you know, from the, I guess, you know, most people do, is they kind of judge, and they're
yep.
doing something that they find annoying.
Yep. That's totally transforming your thoughts. Taking, letting go of whatever it is, but she's letting go of judgment. That's what she's working on. And then moving it to having compassion. So the next piece, if you really wanted to make it a full picture, you would be 150% grateful for her.
Why?
I will tell you why. Because.
Yes, sir!
Yes, this is the juiciest part. Because. Without her, without the specific person, you could not become enlightened. Because I'm just going to say, Jackie's so great. I love Jackie because I love Jackie. And so I'm just pampering her ego, you know. We love each other, but all I do is make her feel better and fluffy.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything to benefit you. I'm just feeding her ego.
Yeah,
I'm. Jill loves me, you know, whatever. People think I'm great. That's feeding the ego. Doris is driving, what we want to say is driving her crazy.
She never shuts up.
Yeah. So who's decided to go crazy?
Yeah.
Not Doris. Doris is perfectly happy talking. And we have no clue why Doris needs to talk. She may have been mute at birth. Is that the right one? Yeah, not deaf, mute. She may have been mute. She may be like, if you knew the story behind why, your heart would probably break. We can make assumptions like that would make your heart already break. So not only that's the compassion part. The grateful part is because everybody, we imagine, like everybody's enlightened but me. So if everybody's enlightened and they're just saying, Julia, you're so sweet and you're so nice, and I go, thank you, and I go to bed, thank you, I'm not getting anywhere. All I'm doing is feeling nice and comfy. So I can't get there. Everybody else is enlightened, but I'm still sitting here waiting. But if Jackie comes up to me and goes, for God's sake, would you just shut up a little bit? You know, if she said something nasty, then I would be like, ah! But if I dealt with it, I, bing, and now I'm enlightened. You have to have her. You can't grow without agitation, without something, without accepting the crap. So the difficulties are the jewels. The difficulties are what you actually want. Yes. Because they're the jewels. The jewels are not in what we think they are, and they are in what we think they're not. And that's the rub, buddy. Yeah. So I used to call this when I, a long time ago, This is probably really not good to say, but, you know, I'd love to do accents. So I had this, I imagined there was this Chinese man in my head. So I probably shouldn't be confessing all these things. And he was my wisdom. He was Joel Gray, you know, in my head. And he just would say things to me. I'm like, oh, yeah. And so he would say, it's joy to have flat tire. And so that's my line. And so the flat tire is just a flat tire. But the person who said, we're supposed to be done in 4 minutes. The person who said, there's no subjunctive thought in this TED Talk in Vietnam. He left Vietnam, and the whole family was trying to get out while the war, I guess it was getting started, I'm not really sure, but, you know, strife. Get the, and of course, cousins and grandmother, you know, the whole, and they're trying to get on a bus. And he starts to have an anxiety attack, and he's freaking out. And everybody said, that's okay, we'll just get the next bus. Does that make you panic a little? Because what I instantly want to say is, oh, my God, there's no next bus, right? So he was the cause of everybody dying? No. He wasn't. The whole bus crashed. Everybody on the bus died. They were all standing here with Joe having an anxiety attack. So was that good or bad that he had, you know? There's no judgment. It just wasn't. So forward through the whole story, he starts to talk about, well, you know, that was what would have happened if, and the family was saying, because he became more Americanized, they're like, what are you talking about? They didn't even have a way to talk about what would have happened if you had not gotten in the bus. They're like, it doesn't matter. What happened is what happened. We don't need to talk about what didn't happen or what could happen or what, you know. Could have, should have, would have. The mantra. I already got that one down, too. Could have, should have, would have. Could have, should have, would have. So he did a TED Talk about the subjunctive thing and about that culture doesn't get it. And so the flat tire, I'm trying to follow my own freaking stream of thought. So the flat tire isn't good, bad, or indifferent. It's just simply a flat tire. But if you imagine that when you stop, you might meet the love of your life if you stop to fix your flat tire. You might get killed. Anything could happen. But it's your karma. It's what's happening in that moment. It isn't negative or positive. It's just a flat tire. And that will help your whole week. It's just a flat tire. It doesn't have anything else happening in it. It doesn't have anything negative. You just get out of the car. You don't have to cuss. You just go, here's the spare. I don't have a spare. I'll walk. You just, you know, that's how I call AAA. I'll get an app for that. And, that's how things can roll. And then you have the habit of mind to be more calm at the next scenario. And then bigger scenarios are going to come on and shake your world. And then smaller ones, you know, you got to go back and try to get better. And then you don't beat yourself up when you didn't handle the dog trying to attack your dog and eat him. And then you can handle. I want to know what a teacher would do with that situation. When a dog came lunging at my dog and I'm trying to save my dog, I want to know what His Holiness would have done. You know, how do people who are really calm handle not the daily life, but the in-your-face situations? I think that would be a neat question. What would Geshe-la do, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just do what you do. You do what you do. And you don't beat yourself up, and you just hope that the next time something happens, it's going to be smoother and easier because you've practiced with really easy things like the toilet paper. Full circle. And 1 minute to go. So, we have a few more. Do you guys want to say what your little discussion was? Are you still too shy? Still too shy. Mike? You have the same thing, you mean?
Yeah,
oh, that's beautiful. Let's write that down. You see the choices. That's exactly, oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't that help in your interpersonal relationships when you realize that there's so much time? That's when I talk about, like, spaces between the breaths, when you're trying to kind of do that meditation, you might just pause in the spaces between. You take that piece and you say, and then in my mind there's spaces in between the thoughts. I don't have to jump to anger. There is some time before anger actually starts. Beautiful. You both had that same kind of, and it brings it. Yeah. in the moment, kind of. Yeah. And then when we just talk about habit of mind, so imagine that you get better and better at that. And if only that, how beautiful. That if you see the choices and you see all the choices, wow, you know? Yeah. I want to have a good mind. Yeah. That Venerable Tendrin said it one time. I don't really remember when or where, but I wrote it in the second volume of the Lam Rim in our books, and at every moment of choice. I didn't have any memory of putting it in there, mindful. And so we were brought it to a class one day, and I opened it up, and somebody was sitting next to me, and he said, dang. You know, like it really hit him. Those little lines sometimes can quite hit you, every moment of choice. And there's nobody else that has responsibility over that. So it doesn't matter if Doris is talking 90 miles an hour, or you're eating chocolate, nice, good, dark chocolate, or you have a flat tire, or, you know, there's no different in any of that. You have a choice in how you handle every single moment. It's, and that's really so beautiful. Don and Jim. Brand new, so, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What did Jim have to say? View things differently. That's great. When you really can look things with a different filter. Because they are just filters, aren't they, that we're putting on something. I don't like this. I don't like that. You view things differently. Good. Yeah. Good. Does everybody feel toasted? Okay. So all the rest of it was just recap. There was one more meditation, of course, with my mouth. We didn't get to it. I keep having the one thing that's... So I think it's really fruitful when we... this breakout stuff, and then when we're done with it, seems to be really beneficial in every class because we're seeing you guys are getting something from what everybody else is doing. Like Don may be new, but he's got all your little gems. He's like ahead of the game. So we'll see next week if he comes back. We'll all ask him, Don, how was it last week? Did you do 9-round breathing? So visualization, we kind of talked about that already. I did want to say, like... you know, say the green tar right here. You might not have one that large in your home, but say you had a little picture. So the visualization literally is just recreating a visualization, just recreating that, noticing she's young and there's clouds. You know, you're creating the whole thing. You're trying to close your eyes and then inhabit in your mind. So these tankas are meant for meditation. This one right here by Renee is 1,000-arm Chen Reizig. Can you imagine how much organizing I could do with 1,000 arms? How many hugs you could give? Arms. Can you see the, Renee, point to that wheel behind. Yep. It looks like a white wheel. Do you see that? Those are arms. 1,000 arms. That's my personal 1,000-arm Chen Reizig. I love. Just have affinity towards that. I think it's the multitasking thing. But the Buddha of... Om Mani Padme Hum. It's the Compassion Buddha, Chen Reizig. And then you might know that His Holiness's name is Chen Reizig. So he's seen to be the embodiment of Chen Reizig, which is like all the Buddhas. These are symbols. These are just symbols of different manifestations of a mind. So think of it as a mind instead of, you know, physicality. But it's like a mind that can pervade that in that way. So those tankas, that's what they're for. And they're very rich in detail to help a very developed mind who can hold that. Like 35 Buddhas, they know where their hands are, where their hair color they have, what family of the Vajra family, everything, all the details about them. But you just get better and better at that by starting with something really simple. Just like we said with anything, you start with how to eat a whole chocolate cake. I do. That's a Buddhist thing, man. They talk about that a lot. A lot of chocolate cake. It is symbolic. Yeah, the brownie thing and the chocolate cake and the recipes, all that's always about chocolate stuff, it seems. So Venerable Robina is coming January 16th, I think, 18th. So if you guys want some down-home fun, she's from Australia and she is a fireball. Fireball. So she is just will nail karma and emptiness. And if you really want to have some feisty teachings, she's so incredible, so incredible. And she'll be doing, usually she's almost here every night. So if you check the calendar out, it's real, they're all so different. So she's one that comes in and just rocks this place. It's amazing. Oh, you haven't seen her yet? Oh. You're cycling through all the, yeah. Yeah, you're going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all can't wait for the questions. People ask questions and then she just, wow. And so, it's real fun. Very, she's so learned. Mm-hmm. She'll be right here. Yeah. Oh, isn't it longer than that? Is it just 2 weeks? Oh, no, it's 2 weeks because Venerable Katie's not teaching, but she's coming from, that's right. So I didn't do purification with light meditation, which is quite lovely. So go online and just read it yourself. It's just imagining white light coming down and clearing things. It's really beautiful. So sorry about that. Any questions? As they usually say, any burning questions to finish up with? All right. Thanks, guys.